A 19-year-old young man, that song became very special to me. Going through a lot of questions and a lot of conflict, a lot of turmoil in soul. Maybe just share this much. Ellie and I were dating, had a wonderful courtship. Soon after we were engaged, I began to deeply struggle with uncertainty. Is this on? As to whether God was leading us together. That's a long story. So began 6 months of intense struggle. If Ellie would have wavered in that process, I'd have probably been out of the relationship. This song became a bedrock of confidence. Now, this is really interesting how God's work. I felt sick. We didn't have movies growing up in our home and with our children. Very few, if any. I couldn't even understand what was being said, but I just had a sick feeling. This song was like rain. And let me just, we sang this, we had this song at our wedding, and it's a song that I once sung at my funeral. Stayed upon Jehovah. If you know what it's like to struggle, and Brother Chester, some of the precious experience that you talked about today, or that this would be a part of that journey for me. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. I just love the message of that song. So that really affected me. I don't know how the Lord leads in our lives and in the service, but I know he does. So I'm just rejoicing in that. If you want to know more about that story, you can ask me. I actually felt led to share our courtship at Faith Builders. I didn't know why. They would ask us staff to share stories. And this one time, I just sensed the Lord wanting me to share the journey that I went through personally. And after that evening, I had a number of students come to me. And I realized that our young people struggle with deep issues in their lives. Well, a text for the message again comes from the book of James, chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off two nights ago. I'd like us just to stand together and sing a verse of marvelous grace, just from memory of our loving Lord. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount. The text says in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You've got to be kidding me. More grace? He doesn't deserve more grace. After what he did to me, how come I always seem to be the one that needs to give in? How come she always gets her way? Isn't it time someone stood up to her? You don't just expect me to be a doormat for people to walk over. Tell me how that's just or fair. Yes, certainly. More grace. And we often are recipients of grace, but we're slow to extend it to others. In the midst of the very real pain and breakdown that happens in relationships, the answers seem few and fleeting. Life can become heavy and discouraging. Retreat seems not only inviting, but necessary. I was at a job at a house doing callbacks. And the moment I entered the door of this house, the lady of the house just started going off. And I was like, what's her problem? Nothing we did in this house seemed to be right. And she went through this tirade, and I was trying to, my goal was to try to represent the company and fix whatever the problems were. But I had never met such a bitter person. I'm working in the garage, and I'm shaking a bucket of paint, and the lid came off. Not a good idea. The garage had indoor-outdoor carpet. So I quickly found a water hose, and I quickly cleaned it up as best I could. And then I went into her, and I shouldn't have done this, and told her what happened. And she went off. And I felt led of the Lord to talk to her about God. And I no sooner got started than she said, "Don't you talk to me about a loving God. Any God that would let my daughter go through what she's going through cannot be a loving God." Her daughter had diabetes. Daughter was a sweet girl. She was a high school senior. And we uncovered in that moment the root of her struggle and bitterness. Grace can so quickly be absent. Let me give you the rest of that story. Do you know that from that moment, things changed in our relationship? She invited me to sit down with her and her husband, who were struggling dreadfully in their marriage, and I could soon understand. I felt sorry for the man. As we sat there in the living room, he said, "Dave doesn't want to hear this." And she said, "I think he does." I remember that statement. Unfortunately, later I found out that they went through a divorce. But you know, grace can so quickly be absent in our relationship. I would like you to bow your heads and just close your eyes as I read these scriptures and let these scriptures sink into your heart this evening. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. You may open your eyes. Folks, let me remind you of something this evening. That God's answer for conflict is found in the goodness and the good news of the gospel. Let me tell you tonight the old story of Jesus and his love. You see, Jesus entered the arena of conflict as a little baby. He made himself of no reputation. He took on the character of a servant. He girded himself with a towel and carried a basin. He pleased not himself, but bore the infirmities of the weak. He suffered for doing what was right. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He refused to render evil for evil, railing for railing. You know what? Our transgressions wounded him. Our iniquities left him bruised. His stripes brought forgiveness and healing, and his death ushered in the day of grace. The title of tonight's message, brothers and sisters, He giveth, He giveth, He giveth, get that, He giveth more grace. Wow. You've got to be kidding me. More grace? But let me ask you, do you want more grace? Do you need more grace? Should more grace be offered to you? Do you deserve more grace? Would you welcome more grace? I think so. You see, pride wants what it wants. Pride pushes to get what it wants, and pride demands to get what it wants and its rights. Pride at least expects fairness in life. Pride puts water in our cups and keeps spilling it in our relationships. And in review, a desire, perhaps good, can go to seed. A demand becomes something that I must have and something I deserve. A damning response of punishing and manipulating and killing others. A distortion that makes me see the mote in a brother's eyes, but never catch a glimpse of the beam in my own eye. And a deception that convinces me that I am right. And an idolatry that harbors a secret love that entraps in spiritual adultery. So what is the answer? He giveth more grace. Undeserved? Yes. Unmerited? Absolutely. Unqualified? Yes. But not really. You see, someone needs to make the first move. Are you listening? Go first and be reconciled. Someone needs to make the first move. Would that someone be you tonight? Could that someone be you? You see, resistance will always follow the proud. The wisdom that is earthly, resistance, first of all, that comes from God, because God resisteth the proud. But let me also say, resistance will come from others. And I really believe that resistance of myself is a part of the breakdown in relationships, which we often don't identify. But the good news tonight is that grace follows the humble. And the verb tense there, it's a continual, unending supply. Grace follows repentance. Grace follows a godly sorrow. Grace follows an apology. Grace follows a willingness to turn around. Joe Webb talks about being at a church. Someone came to him and said to him, "Brother Joe, you need to know something. We have some big cats in this church, and you're rubbing their fur the wrong way." And Joe looked at him and said, "Tell them to turn around." I like that. Grace follows a willingness to turn around. Grace follows the wisdom from above. And so tonight, I give to you from Scripture steps of reconciliation. I just think this is so special. James says, number one, submit yourself to God. That really means get right with God. Surrender your will to Him. Surrender your problems to Him. Confess your stubborn will in the relationship, and your determination to have it your way, your insistence on having the last word, your determination to come out on top in a conflict. Can you trust God? I love this. Can you trust God with those things in your life? And I want to say to us tonight, you know, you sure can. God knows every aspect of that particular journey that you're on. The second thing he asks of us is to resist the devil. Verse 7. Why should we resist the devil? You know why? Because our tongues can be set on fire of hell. Our wisdom can be earthly, sensual, and devilish. Our hearts are prone to selfishness, boasting, and envy, and disorders of all kinds. Resisting the devil keeps us from giving our hearts over to such evil practices. See, you and I have a part to play in our responses in the midst of conflict. The next one, draw near to God. This is precious. Remember Joseph? In the Old Testament, it says he knew and remembered. But when his brothers came, he invited them to draw near. The power of forgiveness. And James invites you and I to draw near to God, to establish a new direction, a change in our focus, and a change in our perspective, and a change in our passion. If you focus on people, you will be disappointed. If you focus on circumstances, you will go in circles. If you focus even on your desires, you will feel cheated and left down. But if you draw near to God, you will experience a new direction, a better desire, a new trust. And guess what? You'll find a path to be able to let go. You cease being controlled by the conflict. Instead, God is able to change your heart and response. Fourth thing, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. And I think what that really means is accept your responsibility in the conflict. Make right your wrong attitudes and actions and rid your heart of double-minded responses. Humble yourself and He will lift you up. And refuse to speak evil of your brother. And I close tonight with a story. I want you to know something. I do tell stories. And I've told some stories of my dad. But you need to know that I have the greatest respect and appreciation for my father. So the story I'm going to tell does involve him again. Thought about this. I've told a number of stories. But it really does illustrate in a vivid way the importance of taking God's way in conflict. We are together as a family, and we have good times as a family. I want you to know that. It's Thanksgiving. We are in a big gym. Thanksgiving meal is being prepared. There are lots of grandchildren playing in the gym. My dad's in the kitchen carving the turkey. And the siblings are getting lunch on the table, which is going to be served in the gym. In the middle of my dad carving the turkey, my son was picking at the turkey because he was hungry. My dad hates people picking at the food. One funny thing about that, my mom always did it. So my dad said something to my son about picking at the food. Well, he was hungry. My wife was also in the kitchen. There were a little background here. My wife moved from Pennsylvania to Delaware. We live close to my parents, and I can just tell you that the relationship between my wife and my parents is so close today. Amazing. In fact, one of the things my folks said today, they miss Ellie. She has been so gracious and just looks after them in so many practical ways. But during that particular time, my wife would see my mom's relationship with my sister, and it was hard at times. Even though it was not intentional, it was still a struggle. So that's the context a bit, what was happening. So Ellie comes to me. Well, what happened? Then my son continued to pick at the turkey, and my dad had some strong words for my son. And so Ellie comes and gets me. She says, "Dave, and you, this is always dangerous. Go take care of your son." And I took him into the restroom and talked to him, but a little chip was beginning to build on my shoulder. Now, we're a good family. We have a lot of good times together. After that event, I went out into the gym and I was entertaining the grandchildren before the meal was served. As circumstance would have it, there was a little stairway there, and someone threw a basketball off the stairway, and it bounced across the gym, and it landed in the gravy on the table. My brother, just younger than me, since I was out there, he said, "Dave, come clean up your mess." And I said, "I didn't make the mess." And I was having a bigger chip. We went to sit down at the table, and there was one place missing. There was not enough settings for our youngest daughter. And my sisters, being very wanting to have everything right, were rushing around trying to find a place. And I said, I will hold her. Well, that didn't satisfy them. And they then I said, I will hold her. Probably a little bit like that. You know what? That's how we sat down. The potatoes stuck in my throat. The turkey wasn't good. My wife lasted partway through the meal and went out in tears. Here's a happy family that really love each other and care for each other, but here we are in the middle of a difficult situation. My dad, being the kind of person he was, he made some comments about, he read Reader's Digest about families that supposed to be having a good time together. It was real. It was kind of lame. It did, but he said, you know, after the meal, we like to sing, and he said we want to get back together again. So we got through the meal, but you know what's very interesting about this? I knew that this wasn't over because I knew my dad. My dad was a person who was quick to apologize, to admit wrong. So we gathered back together, and the first thing my dad did with everyone there was apologize to my son for the way he had responded. And even though I knew that Ellie and I would have some things to work through, it just washed over me, and I knew that everything was going to be all right. What I want us to understand, people, conflict is inevitable. Things happen. I sometimes, as a pastor, think that Satan sets up scenarios to destroy relationships. And he'll try to do that between husband and wife, and he'll try to do it between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, and he'll do it between brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want us to know something tonight. God has provided a path whereby we're able to rise above the conflicts, and it's related to what I've just wanted to communicate to you tonight. He giveth more grace. And it's pretty simple if you stop and think about it. I have young people tell me some amazing things like this. My dad is never wrong. Oh, really? Amazing. I beg to differ. Our young people see right through us. I'll tell you, if we're not willing as adults to humble ourselves and recognize the beam in our eyes and recognize our own failures and deal with them, let me tell you, we cannot expect our children to follow in a reconciliatory path. Wow. My uncle, our bishop, some of the church conflicts, he would say this. He'd say, you know what, people? There are some things in life that only forgiveness can take care of. But forgiveness is a beautiful thing when it is practiced in our relationships with one another. I just want to encourage us tonight. If you come and offer your gift, and there remember that your brother has ought against you, Leave there your gift before the altar. Go thy way. Offer, first be reconciled, then come and offer thy gift. Am I communicating? I think of what could happen. Wow. I think about what... How did that happen? I think about what could happen in our relationships if we truly followed what the Scriptures gives us as an answer in resolving conflict. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we are humbled tonight as we think of Jesus and his example, his willingness to be reviled and spit upon, mistreated, going through all kinds of mistreatment in each of our behalf. Lord, we benefit from the grace that has been extended to us. Give us the courage and the strength to extend grace to others, to give them second and third chances, Lord, to hear their hearts and to reach out in love and goodwill. Protect us, Father, from the disunity and the division that so often characterizes even your people. Father, give us hearts of compassion, hearts of caring. I pray for every family here tonight. Oh Lord, every father and mother, the tremendous responsibility of nurturing and teaching and training their children. We've looked at some heavy things, the things of movies and the influences that affect our lives and our children's lives. But I pray that in the midst of all of that, you would just give the ability and strength to be honest about our own needs and be willing to confess even to our children those areas of need in our own lives. And Lord, maybe we together, one of the blessings of teenagers in the house is not only their sons and daughters, but their brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I know they can contribute to our lives as parents in ways that are precious, in ways that challenge us in our walk with you. So I pray for that kind of, just that kind of spirit among your people. And I pray for your grace to be evident in our relationships with one another. Dismiss us with your blessing. May your grace go with each of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let the rain of God's grace fill your hearts and lives and your relationships. And you know what? Life can be such a blessing and such an encouragement if we do that. You are dismissed. God bless you.